Howdy do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, April 29th. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here, Kelly.
Glad to have you with me. Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello. Nice to be with you.
Yes, I'm glad to have you back again. One of the things I want to talk about today, well, the primary thing we want to talk about today, I'm going to talk to you about, Andrew, first, is we finally have a little bit of background about how Apple and Google got together and got the contact tracing situation underway.
Yeah, it's interesting. So this article over at CNBC, they interviewed, I think, five people about this just to get a little bit of the inside story. And so it sounded like it started around March because people, they had been talking about contact tracing for a little while before, you know, Apple and Google kind of got on board. Mm-hmm. And so they say on March 21st, the Swiss engineering professor, and I'm going to totally mess up his name, Edward Bugnian.
Okay.
Sorry, Edward. He actually reached out to Apple's developer relations team. And it says he just recognized that if there was going to be some digital contact tracing apps, they would need Apple to work and to work on it, as well as, you know, make sure the privacy side is all figured out. Mm-hmm. So he emailed them and they were fast. So they say within a day or two, these issues came to the attention of people on Apple's health team, which includes Jeff Williams, not only is he the operations officer, he is heavily in the health team.
And yeah, so it went for people who don't, who might, team. For people who may not know that name, Jeff Williams is sort of the face of Apple Watch, because now when there's new things in watchOS to make a debut, Jeff Williams is the guy that comes out and does them. So,
yes. And so Apple had this project about it. They called it Project Bubble. Okay. And so it was the health team. It was, another name I'm going to get wrong, Ron Huang.
Okay.
He runs Apple's location services group. And of course, Dr. Guy Bud Tribble, who is known internally as the privacy czar at Apple. Mm-hmm. And all these people came together. But of course, they would need the CEO's approval before anything official went underway. And so it says Tim Cook, as well as Google, Sundar Pichai, they had a meeting about it to get the details sorted out, and then they started getting underway. And so they say this, the ball kind of got rolling at Apple, and then a month later, Google was on board.
That's fantastic, and I'm really glad that somebody that early was able to sit down and see the value in the two of them teaming up. And and that's really nice. So, Charlotte, what does the contact, what sort of is the contact tracing situation where you are? Because obviously, well, like we talked about, you know, it's a little different there than it is here.
Yeah, it seems to have moved slightly away from the kind of Apple, Google kind of model. You know, Apple, we understand is, it has helped the British government, as you know, advised the British government. I think that continues to go on. But the model has clearly changed in the UK to, as Andrew reported and as we followed up on, a slightly more centralised model. Matthew Gould, who is the head of the NHSX, which is the kind of digital transformation part of the health service, he appeared in front of lawmakers in the UK yesterday via video OVS, and explained that he thinks that there could be a small area rollout, you know, pretty soon. He said in the next couple of weeks, and then in 2 to 3 weeks, a bigger rollout of such an app. So that's quite interesting. These things are obviously moving pretty quickly, which is, for all sorts of reasons, very encouraging. Mm-hmm. And I think that can probably only happen when you have the likes of Apple and Google going full steam ahead from the very, very tops of the organizations.
Oh, sure.
You know, I don't know how many times, either in person or via video, Sundar Pichai and Tim Cook have actually met directly. I don't imagine it's a huge number. And, you know, the fact that that happened, as Andrew's explained, in the kind of very quick time frame, that is kind of tells you quite a lot, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think part of that also...
Yeah, so that's pretty much the kind of the big change, as Charlotte mentioned. The UK and France, they're still trying to work their more own approach, which would give... It would put all people's data in their own servers. They say it would, you know, make it easier to analyze. But the way they're doing it, it wouldn't be good for the device's battery life. And so that's one reason.
Yes, it's a real thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so besides privacy, with Apple and Google's decentralized approach, the main reason why they're building this API is it would let apps do their thing with contact tracing in the background without having, like, Bluetooth open constantly or the app itself running constantly. Which, of course, would be good for battery life.
Yeah, so the battery life is a really big part of this, because I would imagine... So the two things that make contact tracing apps useful is, A, if lots of people have to have them. And that the way to make lots of people have them, apparently in the UK, it's 60% of... 60% of people need to have it, 80% of all smartphone users need to have it for it to be of any real use. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that one of the things that will stop people putting an app on the phone is if they realize that it is completely draining their battery life, and people will get and they need to that. So that, I think, is a big mistake to do anything that could make it give people a reason not to use such a product. And I think Apple and Google have tried to find a way to make sure it is power efficient, and, you know, that the API, which we expect kind of in the next couple of days, by all accounts, should be arriving imminently.
Yeah.
And so that kind of that decentralized approach from the API is meant to do that. And there's always been a second stage, and everyone seems to have focused on this first stage, which is the app and the API. But then there is meant to be a second stage, and I've not heard anything that indicates this has changed, that is that the contact tracing technology will be kind of embedded in the operating system. That's what we originally understood, wasn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, two stages would be
exactly
this API for these government apps to work with, and then later a bigger change would kind of more bake it into the operating system at a deeper level. And like you, I haven't really heard anything more about that. Right now, it seems like everyone is focusing on this first stage.
Very much so. Everyone's, yeah, exactly. Is it's kind of this: get the apps out, what's each country doing, and you know just get the API out the door, which is fine, and that's obviously, you do have to focus stage by stage when you're operating at such a speed. But it's worth, as we discuss these things, having in mind that there is meant to be a second path to it.
Right. Yeah, and that feels like an important piece of this as well.
Yeah, and I assume that will be part of a update, and they will try. That will also is part of the idea of getting more numbers, you know, getting the technology onto more devices, because, you know, there'll be a chunk of people who, if it's pushed through an operating system update or something, it will just happen automatically.
Yeah. And I don't think any of us know exactly what it would look like, but I know occasionally when there's a big update to something, particularly in iOS, when there's a big update to something in the preferences, like a security preference or something that you need to opt into or opt out of, we get sort of an additional setup screen. So you run the update, and usually you just get the little notification that you've been updated to iOS 13.6 or whatever. I know that's not a number yet, but... Usually, when there is that sort of thing, maybe this would be handled similarly. Like, it just gets pushed out as part of an iOS update. And when you open your phone the first time after the update, it says, you know, there's this contact tracing feature. Do you want to opt into that or opt out of it, with the little link to privacy for this is what it looks like? for your data, this is what we're doing with it. This is how it's going to work. And you get the option of opting in or out of that right there on that screen. And I would hope that it would work similarly on Android if this were put out the same way on an Android device as well, that you would just get a little Android update. And it would be a small thing like, you know, when we get carrier settings or whatever and your phone reboots and it's fine. And then you just get this little screen where you have to decide if you're going to turn it on or not. And that's going to be it. And, you know, I'm really hopeful that this will also change because the battery life is something that people are up in arms about constantly. I think that's about as understated as I can make that. After seeing what happened to iPhone 6s. So I think it's going to have to be something like that so that it's just there and nobody has to go download anything. You know, it needs to be something very easy for people to use and not take a ton of power. And hopefully using something like Bluetooth Low Energy might be able to make that possible. That's my hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've seen, Andrew pointed out that France and the UK are slightly different. Germany has flipped over the weekend to the much more Apple Google facing model.
Yes.
There has been an update, which is written about over on the Mac Observer. Kind of Apple pointed out a few different things that it was doing in terms of privacy and so on that I think help people. There's been a lot of pressure on the companies from governments as well. There's a bit of push and give and take going on here. It's actually quite a fascinating story to be covering and discussing. But
yeah.
I think in the next week or two, we're going to start seeing something kind of tangible. Yeah. Certainly by kind of, yeah, next 2-3 weeks, I think, maybe here in the UK, maybe elsewhere, we will start to see some kind of tangible products, for want of a better phrase.
Yeah, that something definitive will come out of this. That's my hope anyway.
Yeah. So speaking of that, this is kind of funny. I just want to share this quote again from the CNBC article.
Yeah.
So this, his name is Marcel. It says he's a very prominent Swiss researcher and epidemiologist. So he went to Twitter last week and something he said was, "I would not in 100 years have predicted that U.S. tech companies provide a privacy-preserving framework for this, and some European countries are lobbying them to lower the standards."
I'm glad to know that noted researchers also don't understand 2020. That makes me feel very good. That's definitely...
It's a really kind of weird way that kind of... The tech companies understand it from a commercial point of view that they need to make sure we don't feel our privacy is being completely abused. But equally, they and the governments realize that there's going to have to be some give to make these.
Yeah.
If we want to use this version of getting out, you know, moving the world on a bit, there is going to have to be some give and take from everyone.
Yeah. And it's the nice thing about it is that it seems like a lot of this conversation has been, you know, first of all, I know this is very novel for Andrew and I, but a little less novel for Charlotte, which is having somebody stand up for the consumers who are actually going to have to use this. Generally, if big tech and the government are getting together to do something, that's not going to end well for end users like Andrew and I. So watching somebody go, you know, like... people are something that we're going to have to think about here is really kind of nice. And again, it just speaks to the weirdness of 2020 that this is where we are.
But also it's all, I've said this on a few different things on a few different subjects that we're discussing at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's all well and good us going, yeah, but privacy, and that's hugely important, particularly long term. But we also have to think, you know, even us as people who really are very concerned about privacy, probably much more than the average consumer, we're also going to have to go, okay, so what is actually practicable and acceptable to move
the
world, if you like, forward?
Yeah.
And I think that's where the kind of, as I say, give and take is going to have to be from everyone.
Yeah. And for me, part of that conversation is, I'm happy to give this to you, but I need to be able to take it back later. And I think that's, for me, the stance that makes this sticky in a hurry.
Yeah, I said that we're all expecting the API this week, and the story from CNBC that Andrew highlighted says the software toolkit will be released on Friday. So that's what we should be, that's the next kind of step to be looking out for.
Yeah, and we will do that. And as we find more about this, as we get better information about it, as it becomes a thing that we're able to turn on and opt into or opt out of, I'm sure we will make sure we have all that information over at MacObserver.com. And briefly, that's basically going to do it for us today, but I briefly want to get a PSA in for something that you've discovered, Andrew, in Apple Maps.
Yeah, so earlier this month, Apple kind of tweaked Apple Maps so that when you tap on that search bar, they basically just rearranged that list of things so that things like groceries, food delivery, pharmacies are more prominently featured at the top so people can quickly get what they need. This That's recent nice. Update to that puts a COVID-19 testing locations at the top of that list. So with one tap, you can see all of the locations that offer testing available in your location. Mm-hmm. You can tap on one, go to their website to see more details about it. So it's a really nice update, I think.
Yeah, and that is one thing that I have appreciated about Apple Maps once it got to be reasonably accurate, of course. I don't look forward to your letters on
no,
that.
No, it isn't.
But I said reasonably. One of the things that I've appreciated about it is the way that Apple has been able to adjust some of those things over time. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't take long for tapping on it to just give you know, groceries and food delivery and that. And to add this as well, I think, is really nice. And watching Apple sort of adjust some of those things within Maps over time has been really nice to watch, because it's one of those things where you definitely get the idea that people are paying attention to how Maps is being used, and that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Because we get this feeling sometimes there's not attention paid. So when there's attention paid, I feel like we have to call it out.
And I think the best thing about it is this didn't require some, you know, iOS update that people had to manually install.
Right.
Most people, they don't even know this happened. This is just quietly, you open Maps, you tap on the search bar, and then suddenly you see these changes.
Yeah, and that's and that's the big piece of it, is just sort of letting people know that if you do tap that, you get that. Discoverability is a thing we know nobody's paying attention to, so that part we can totally call them out for. But definitely having the opportunity there and being able to tap on it is part of why we wanted to talk about it today, so that people know that those options are out there for you to make Maps better to use. I didn't say good, Charlotte. I just said better. So just so we're clear.
Less bad.
Less bad. It's definitely less bad when you can tap on it and go, here's the grocery store and places that will bring you food. So that's good. If you have information about this, if you have a cool Maps trick, or if there's something interesting in the contact tracing situation, if you have some concerns or some questions that we can highlight for you and make sure that we answer for everyone, we would like to do that. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com. You can leave a comment in the show notes, or you can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here today. Charlotte, thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
And Andrew, as always, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. Be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.